I'd like to think this evening about Joseph. Joseph is a favorite character, no doubt, of many of us. And we enjoy the story of Joseph. We enjoy hearing of his faith and of his steadfastness. And we know that Joseph was a type of Jesus in a number of respects. And Joseph is, he's just a Bible character that just stands out to us. Do you think that Joseph had any scars? Is there anything in Joseph's life that, well, I have this suspicion that he had some physical scars. You know, when the brothers put him down in that dungeon, I don't really think they were too careful or kind about it. And no doubt he got brushed and bruised as they threw him into that dungeon. And that's the way he had a number of experiences that he may have had some scars, physical scars. Joseph was a man who we know enough about life and we know enough about the experiences that he faced and the tough things that he faced and the mistreatment that he received to know that Joseph had every right to have some pretty deep emotional scars. And we'd like to just look at his life a bit. We're going to look at the first part of his life, not so much later on when his brothers came down and he supplied corn for them and for much of the world. But God was looking down upon Joseph as he faced the various challenges of life. And I'd just like you to think about something just for a moment. Think about yourself. Think about us here this evening. And tonight, the God of heaven who looked down upon Jacob's family, looked down upon his sons, and this God who looked down and observed Joseph, he noticed Joseph. His father loved Joseph because of his faithfulness, because of his good character, and God observed that as well. He noticed his moral integrity. And this God who cared for and protected Joseph in the dungeon and on the trip to Egypt, it's the same God that is looking down, right down here tonight and sees you and you and you. He sees us. He sees us. In this very moment, he sees and knows you and your family. He knows all about you and your life and the things that you experience today. He sees and knows your difficulty and your trials. He knows your joys and he knows the blessings that have come your way. Right now, in this very moment, God is looking down and sees you personally, individually. And it's the same God that cared for Joseph, the same God. And I say that this evening, and it blesses my heart because we sometimes look back to the story of Joseph, and it's a great story. It's a marvelous story. And somehow we kind of think that, yeah, that's really something. God really took care of Joseph. But Joseph was a real man. He was a real boy. He was a young man. And he had feelings. And God looked down, the same God looks down upon us today that looked down on Joseph and helped him walk that journey faithfully. As God looks down on us tonight, what does he see? What does he see? Am I a man of integrity? Does he see youth and adults of integrity? And I'm confident this evening that I'm speaking to a group who desires moral uprightness. I know that we do. Your presence here tonight tells me that you want to do what's right and you love the Lord and want to grow more like him. We have challenges that we face in life. Failure does not warrant giving up. Failure simply means that you need to do something different. That's all it means. In simple terms, it means that whatever the methods that you're using, the safeguards that you have in your life need to be shored up. It means that there's some changing in your ways. There's more discipline that's needed. There's additional mortification that's necessary. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 5 tell us there that we need to mortify, we need to deaden the fleshly appetites within us and fleshly responses, and so don't give up. Even though we look back in this life of Joseph and it seems like Joseph just faced every battle just right on, and he did in many ways, but I believe that Joseph had struggles in his heart. It didn't just come naturally for him. He needed to work hard. He needed to discipline his mind. And so my prayer this evening is that this message can be an encouragement and an inspiration and a prodding toward faithfulness, and that we can find rest of soul and that we don't give up in our journey of life. Moral Integrity, the Life of Joseph is the title of the message. We're familiar with this story. What is moral integrity? Well, the word integrity means that it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles or moral uprightness. It is a personal choice to hold oneself to consistent standards. C.S. Lewis said that integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Integrity. The study guide booklet, some of you may have seen it, Integrity, A Study on the Life of Joseph. That booklet says that, defines integrity this way: having high moral character, honesty, to be complete, solid, without blemish. Last evening, Brother Luke in the devotional used that, referred to the word flourishing, and different of you commented to him about that after the service. And that word fits here. Someone that is flourishing is a person of integrity. Webster says it's firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values, incorruptibility, an unimpaired condition, soundness, the quality or state of being complete or undivided. The word moral, what does that mean? Well, it means of or relating to principles of right and wrong in behavior, conforming to a standard of right behavior, capable of right and wrong action. Sometimes we hear the word moral and we immediately zero in on the thought of moral purity. And that's, we often connect those two terms. And that certainly is one aspect, but this word moral is much broader and includes all aspects of upright living. And as I read these definitions, you might have caught the word behavior. Moral integrity, it's how we act, it's how we live, it's how we respond to things in life. It's how we respond to ouchies that come our way. Moral integrity. You can open your Bibles to Genesis 37 if you care to. And I'm not going to read a lot of verses as such. I'm not going to read very many verses. But I like to just skim through these chapters. And I know there's no school tomorrow, but I guess that doesn't give me necessarily the liberty to preach till 9 o'clock. So I think I'm not going to read a lot of verses. But we know this story. In chapter 37, we have Jacob here, and he asked Joseph to go down and find his brothers and take them a gift. And we know that Joseph did that. He said, "Here am I. I'm ready to go. We also know how that Joseph was his father's favorite son. It tells us there that in verse 3 that Israel loved Joseph more than his other children. And there's some flaws in that. And maybe that contributed to some of the trials that Joseph had to experience. But I believe that, and I'll look at this a little later on, I believe that Israel was a godly man, and his other sons were just not living the best life. And Joseph was one of his boys that he could depend on, and he trusted him, and Joseph loved the Lord as well. And we know that tells us in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 that Joseph dreamed some dreams. He told them his brothers, they were upset at him. And even his dad, he told these dreams, and his dad said, you know, you better just be careful with that. And he even chided him. But it tells us that his father observed the same. And I wonder what all Israel thought about. And Joseph finally found his brothers, and when he was coming toward them, they saw him, they recognized him, and they hated him, and they conspired against him. They ended up throwing him in the dungeon and selling him to the Ishmaelites that came along. And then they went down to Egypt, or the Midianites, they went down to Egypt and they sold him to Potiphar. Potiphar was a great man. He was an officer of Pharaoh's, and he was a captain of the guard. And so Potiphar was right up there, I believe, just about as high as you can get in the government position. He was, I don't know if he was second or not, but he was right close. And interestingly enough, later on, Joseph either took that place or was above him yet in rank. And then we come over to chapter 39. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And we know this story of what happened there in Potiphar's house. And I'd like to point out verse 2 and verse 3 in chapter 39. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And we know that he entrusted all that he had into Joseph's hand. Imagine that. He bought this servant, he bought this slave, and he entrusted all that he had in his hand. And God had a purpose. It infers here at least that God moved in the heart of Potiphar so that he was blessed and he was very respected. And then we have this story of Potiphar's wife and how she tempted Joseph and endeavored to lure him into sin, and Joseph was faithful, and how that she told a different story, and he ended up in prison. And then we have the butler and the baker being there, and they had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And I don't know, chapter 41 says that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, and I don't know if Joseph was in prison for 2 full years, or if this was maybe even 2 full years after the butler was released. But at any rate, the butler forgot about Joseph. Joseph told him, he said, when you get out of prison, remember me and plead my cause. And he said, I'm here in prison for no wrong that I have done. And, well, the butler forgot about him. And the day came 2 years later when Pharaoh dreamed the dream. And then we have the dream of the 7 cows that came up, the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean cows. And we know that story and how that the butler said, you know what? There was a Hebrew boy down there in prison, and he interpreted our dream one day. And so Pharaoh called for him. And he came out, he shaved himself and put on clean clothes and came to Pharaoh. And so he went right, imagine that, he went right from prison straight to Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh had a need, and Joseph, well, these other men believed that Joseph could help him. And Joseph said, you know, it's not in me. But he said, I have a God. And so we know how that God blessed Joseph again, and he helped to figure out a plan for bringing in the corn and efficiently storing that so that they could feed the world later on. I think we'll just let it at that. I like to look at six aspects of moral integrity as seen in Joseph. Number one was his trustworthiness that was expressed by others. And I referred to this already. The confidence that his father had in him to send him to his brothers. And he was a young man, but his father had full confidence and trust. He just knew that he could send Joseph to check on the boys, check on his sons, check on the flocks. I don't believe that Israel had confidence that his other sons were living right. In fact, he knew some of what was going on, but he had full confidence that Joseph, he could send Joseph down there, and Joseph would be faithful. He wouldn't get caught up in their lifestyle. Potiphar very quickly trusted Joseph with his wealth and possessions. Seems like Joseph knew how to handle money. And then, of course, the prison guards so soon trusted Joseph. I wondered if that had ever happened before. Maybe. But when you read this, it says that the prison guard entrusted all the prisoners into Joseph. And nothing, they were not permitted to do anything that didn't pass Joseph's approval. In other words, he was the overseer, he was sort of like the foreman of the prison, the superintendent of the prison, and here he was a prisoner, but he was taking care of the other prisoners. And the prison guard trusted him. And that's quite a test. Can you imagine being in prison, being in charge of the other prisoners, and not conniving a way to be released or escape? I don't know if the other prisoners ever tempted Joseph with that or not. But he was faithful, and the prison guard could trust him. And of course, later on, we know that Pharaoh entrusted Joseph with the operations of the country. Second is that trustworthiness is earned in little details of our lives. It's gained through a high respect for those that you're responsible to and those that you relate closely with. Treating other people's things as if they were your own. Just little ways that we earn trust. And trustworthiness is earned through a careful walk in life. And I believe that all these men that trusted Joseph saw more than just simply a mature young man. He was that, but he was more than that. And they saw his godliness, they saw his carefulness, they saw his loyalty to his God, and it caused them to trust him in all of life. Secondly, another aspect of his moral integrity was his comfortable relationship with his parents. We don't know a lot about Joseph and how he related to his parents, but if you take the little bit that we do know and the confidence his dad had in him, and we see his faithfulness, I believe that Joseph had a good relationship with his parents, his mom and his dad. Jacob loved Joseph because he was a godly son. And Joseph willingly ran an errand of checking on his brothers. Joseph and Israel were at one in their desire for righteousness. I believe that Joseph was just as concerned as Israel about the son's evil report. He cared about it. He was concerned about it. And so Jacob loved Joseph because he was a godly son. And that bonding, that kinship was very real between them. And so, young people tonight, keep an open relationship with your parents. Relationship is a two-way street. And, you know, maybe you're here tonight and you're a young person and you wish that your dad would ask you some more questions. Maybe you wish that he would talk to you more about life. And maybe you feel bad because it seems like he never asks you. And I'd like to encourage you to just ask your dad questions. You know, try it. And it could be that he would be glad to talk with you. Don't hide your life from your parents. Be open of where you're going and the things that you buy. And I know as you get older, that changes a bit. But I believe that one of the integral keys to victory in life and spiritual victory and victory over sin is to be transparent with your life. And when people are just constantly sort of skirting around the edge and just, you know, just not open about what they're doing, it provides a seedbed for a life that is not blessed. By the way Joseph related to Potiphar and his prison guard, we can conclude that he was transparent in how he lived his life. It's why those men trusted him. Show appreciation to those that are close to you in life. Young people, again, tell your parents that you appreciate. Tell your mother that you appreciate all she does for you. Offer to help your dad with one of his projects. And fathers, show appreciation to your children. Show that, let them know that you notice the things that they do and the effort they put into, whether it's their job, whether it's their Christian life, show appreciation to those that are close to you. The third point, and this is very closely related, but his acceptance of authority in his life. Joseph, in chapter 42, This is after the brothers came down to Egypt and they were facing some uncomfortable situations with Joseph. They didn't know Joseph yet. And in chapter 42 and verse 21, and they said one to another, "We are very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. And we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us." And maybe I'm reading something in that and giving Joseph more credit than he deserves, but I don't think so. The picture I get, let's just back up a little bit. Joseph was maybe around 17 years old. And I don't know if any of you fellows are 17 years old. Some of you are older than that. And the brothers were older than him, and there was a bunch of them. And so Joseph, even at 17, was probably no match. They could subdue him pretty quickly. But I tell you what, at 17 years old, most 17-year-old boys would have put up a fight. And the impression that I get here in this verse, his brothers, as they look back and remember the day, said that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. And I really wonder if Joseph begged them and pled with them. And I get the picture that Joseph was more concerned about his brothers and their souls than he was about his own physical life. He besought them and he pled. And there was long-suffering in his eyes as he pled with them to not do it. And it was probably for the sake of his father. And also that he knew that it was a pathway of guilt and ruin for his brothers. Not the pathway of holiness at all. His acceptance of authorities in his life. And there is no way, there is no way that Joseph would have ever gained the respect of Potiphar or the prison guard if he would have walked around with a smart attitude. Never, ever. But he accepted the authorities in his life, and they trusted him. This is true for all of us, but as youth tonight, the sooner you can learn to humbly accept direction and guidance, the more you will grow and your character will be refined. And learn that. Learn that early in life. Accept direction and guidance. Resistance and arrogance never develop godly integrity. Humility provides a seedbed for character growth. The next point is Joseph's standard of purity. Joseph faced a test that God forbid that many men would have to face. He faced a test that was a tremendous challenge. I like to just think about some questions. What if Joseph's decisions up until this point in time in his life were largely governed by selfishness? What if? Joseph had faced a hard life. He faced the cruelty of his brothers. And it didn't just start the day that they put him in the dungeon. They hated him. They despised him because their dad favored him. They despised him because of his righteous character. And he felt that. He was slighted. He was, in some respects, abused. I just don't believe that his brothers came to the point they did that day out there in the field, and they had never before yelled at him and talked ugly to him. Joseph was the recipient of verbal abuse, more than likely. And he came down there with all that baggage, like we call it sometimes, that he could have carried with him. And he came there to Potiphar's house and faced this challenge. And he could have thought, you know what, she's beautiful. I wonder how it would feel to have her arms around me. He could have said, well, who really cares? Here I am down in Egypt. Where is God? Why did he allow this to happen? He could have pitied himself and said, you know what? I don't know that anybody really cares. What if Joseph would have been taught that he has a need for love and that his love tank is depleted, or it was never filled in his younger years? What if? What if Joseph would have pitied himself because of all the good things that he was deprived of and the rejection that he faced? What if? And the question that I ask tonight is that would Joseph have been able to stand the test in a split seconds decision? I don't think so. Joseph saw the issues as black and white. Consider his brothers' lives, their looseness, and their evil hearts. Do you think they ever told shady jokes? Do you ever think they used words that had dual meanings? Moral integrity does not allow shady areas. We don't tolerate shady areas. We don't tolerate shady speech. And Joseph saw those things as black and white. There was no gray area in his mind. And moral integrity knows which bucket to put those things in. Satan wants us to believe that there's things that are just gray. It doesn't really matter. What's really wrong with it? Other people do it. And I believe that I've seen some young men that just like it that way. They like to think that there's some areas that are gray. And so we need to guard the gate of our mind. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our mind is the receiver of thoughts and impressions that enter in through the senses." And we need to filter our thoughts. Our thoughts are a product mostly of what we see and what we hear, what we allow to linger in our minds. And sometimes these sights and sounds are ungodly and they leave impressions, and we must choose what we're going to do with them. Are we going to think more on those thoughts, or are we going to eject them? And ask God to give us a pure mind. It's possible. You know, there are godly songs that we can replace with wrong thoughts and tempting thoughts. There are Bible verses. God wants to impart His grace in our hearts and in our minds and help us to be victorious. Our love for God Almighty, our standing before Him, must supersede all other worthy reasons to remain pure. And what I mean by that is that, I'm going to use this illustration. I've heard fathers, I've heard married men already say that, well, I need to have a pure life for my wife or for my family. And it has to go deeper than that. Joseph remained pure and holy. He lived a righteous life because of God Almighty that was looking down from heaven, the one that he loved, the one that he served. Joseph wasn't trying to stay pure and clean because there was someone else watching him. That may have helped. He may have remembered the words of his father. But his utmost foundation was the Lord God in heaven, the holy God that he served. And he loved him, and it was the reason that he kept himself pure. The next point is his awareness of and accountability to his Almighty God. And this is closely related. I probably got ahead of some of these thoughts, but it was the main point which carried him through, and it's the key to our spiritual success as well. Joseph's brothers sold him, and as he followed his new owners, he was now a slave. Joseph lost all his rights. He was stripped of everything that he called his own. But there was one thing that no one could take from Joseph, and that was his God. That was his relationship with God, and it remained firm. His love for Almighty God, his commitment and conviction that he would be faithful to God no matter what would happen. His eye was single. We talked about that last evening, and we have the straight line between, we could say, Joseph and God. And he wasn't trying to make two lines. He didn't have two masters, but he had one master, and that was his God in heaven, and he was determined and committed to faithfulness to him. His commitment to God was only possible because he loved God with all his heart. You know, it wasn't till later on down there when his brothers came, and he said that God meant it for good. But Joseph didn't know that when he was in Potiphar's house. He didn't know how this was all going to work out. It was God that he served all those years. Joseph had completely forgiven. And I don't believe that Joseph would have been faithful in Potiphar's house if he was holding grudges against his brothers. It wouldn't have happened. Because whenever we hold grudges, whenever we have unforgiveness, we are lifting ourselves up. We are focusing our own feelings and our own hurts, and we are selfish in our thinking. And he faced these challenges, these tests, and he was able to be successful because he had forgiven. And later on, he was able to help his brothers understand and accept God's plan. And the last point is his interest in God's family and his kingdom. Joseph's family were the people of God, and what he knew of God, he had learned from his family. He didn't learn about God in Egypt. What he knew about God in those years was what he learned from his dad, what he learned from his family. And he loved God's family, and he loved the kingdom of God. He didn't have a Bible to read every morning. He didn't have a youth Bible school to go to. And as he lived in Egypt, I believe that Joseph never forgot his family. He loved them. He cared about them. I can only believe that Joseph thought about them every day. And it was somewhat his link between where he was in Egypt and a godly lifestyle and a godly perspective. When his brothers came to Egypt, what did Joseph want to know first? How's my father? He still loved him. He cared about him. He wasn't bitter toward him for sending him to his brothers that day. He loved his father with all his heart, and later he gave direction to be buried in Canaan. And so this evening, put yourself into congregational church life. Support your brotherhood. Do your part in healthy relationships within the congregation. Be a willing worker in church activities. Beyond your own congregation, interest yourself with kingdom activities and opportunities. And it's all part of the package of being faithful and living a life of moral integrity. In closing, a couple thoughts. Number one is that Joseph is an example to us of just solid integrity. Solid the whole way. When I was in school, and it's the same way today, sometimes you have a test in school, and the teacher also then gives you a couple extra points, and they're called bonus points. And I like to think of Joseph, he passed all the tests of life 100%, and he got all the bonus points. He answered all the questions correctly. And from his youth all the way to his death, he passed the test. I know that Joseph was human. And we debate sometimes whether his motives were just as pure as they could have been when his brothers came down. And I don't have the answer to all that. But he was a man, we know that. He wasn't perfect. But he was a man who honored God and brought glory to his name through his integrity and his carefulness of life. Secondly, I believe that there are there are two tests that are the greatest tests that a man can ever face. And one is the explicit temptation and allurements of a lustful woman, and the other is a man that is given tremendous power and authority. And Joseph had both of those. He had both of those, and he was faithful all the way to the end in all of those areas. He was faithful in extreme situations. Thirdly, the key to Joseph's success lies in his rest of heart and soul. Joseph was at peace with God. And his peace was anchored in Jehovah God and his relationship with him. And I don't know that we ever have record of Joseph building an altar. We don't have that he prayed. But we just know that he did. We just know that he did. He was a man of prayer. He had to be in order to be faithful in those tests. Rest of heart and soul. Now, I want you to think about something. We today have choices to make, and our choices have consequences. And we either can choose right, and we can choose the way of sacrifice. We can do the hard work and the hard disciplines, in our own life that need to happen in order to be faithful in our Christian lives. Or we can take the easy route and just live with guilt. Try to imagine in your heart or in your mind the turmoil that Potiphar's wife faced and dealt with. Joseph was in prison all that time, and she knew the real story. She knew the real story. Think about the turmoil that his brothers faced. Joseph did the right thing, and even though he was sold as a slave down there in Egypt, away from his family, he still had something that no man could take from him, and that was peace in his heart and rest of soul. And his brothers, well, when you read the rest of the story and all that they went through when they came down there to Egypt and met Joseph, they just dealt with tremendous guilt all those years. May God help us to be men and women of moral integrity, doing the right thing even when no one is looking, doing the right thing no matter who is watching. And let's be committed to God the whole way through and continue to build our relationship with Him, so that when we face hard, difficult tests, we just know that there's a God in heaven and we are committed to serving Him and being faithful to Him. I'd like to give a